This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What might the lame duck legislative session hold for Michigan schools? This is the time lawmakers often make a big push to pass pet bills, and there are several in play right now that could mean some big changes for students and teachers. Chastity Pratt-Dossie, reporter for Bridge Magazine, is here now. Hello again.
Hi.
Good to have you back again. And also happy to welcome back to the program Michelle Richard, who's a senior consultant for Public Sector Consultants. Hello, Michelle.
Hi. Happy to be here.
Well, before we get into talking about these pending education bills, let's spend a bit of time looking at that new assessment test, which was announced late last week. So goodbye, 40-year-old MEEP test, and hello, MSTEP, the Michigan Student Test of Educational Progress. Chastity, we know state education officials were proceeding along getting ready to implement the test known as Smarter Balance when the state legislature basically threw a flag on the play and said, nah. And that was because?
Well, that was because, I mean, it really has its roots in people not approving the Common Core and not wanting to spend money on a test that tested the Common Core. I mean, it was a lot of politics because you'll see your educators say it makes no sense not to have the Smarter Balance test that is tied to the Common Core curriculum that we have. We've been, you know, for 3 years moving in that direction, but then the legislature defunded it, which meant that the Michigan Department of Ed essentially had to come up with a test just for this 2014-15 school year. And they came up with what they're calling the MSTEP. And they had to come up with a new one because the last few years they thought, okay, we're going to use Common Core, Smarter Balance test, and we're going to phase out the MEEP. Well, this spring when the legislature defunded the MEEP, they had to come up with something, and now we have the MSTEP.
And Michelle, what's it got?
Well, so I think it'll look and feel a little bit different for students who are taking the test in the field. So the goal is to shift schools to an online assessment so that students will actually sit down at a computer and they'll complete some multiple choice questions just like they have in the past, but they'll also be seeing more of what we call a constructed response, basically an essay question, that will hopefully give us more insight into how students are thinking, what their problem-solving skills look like, what their writing skills are like. But I think what's interesting is, like Chastity said, we'll only be using this assessment for 1 year, and then we'll be shifting gears one more time to another new assessment. But hopefully folks in the field won't see too much change because they're both aligned to the current state standards or the Common Core.
How do you think taking the test in the spring might affect student scores, Chastity?
Well, usually, well, I should say for years, we tested kids in the spring, and then, like, what, for 4 or 5 years, we switched to the fall. If they score it quickly, then they will be able to start a new school year with a good idea of what kids need to work on. And I don't think, and Michelle, you let me know if you think any differently, I don't think it is going to really impact scores as much. But then there are people who say when you test kids in the beginning of the year, they have had some summer forgetfulness, and that those scores are probably lower than what you would see on a spring test. I think we might have to wait and see.
Right. I'll be really interested to see what parents and students are saying about test prep. So when we tested in the fall, a lot of students saw a tremendous amount of test prep in the beginning of the school year. So a lot of review, a lot of practicing filling in those bubbles. And I'll be really watching to see what kind of feedback we get from students and from parents about what that looks like when you've actually been teaching this content for almost an entire school year before you take the assessment.
I'm speaking with Michelle Richard, who's a senior consultant with Public Sector Consultants, and Chastity Pratt-Dossie, Bridge Magazine reporter. Now we move to some bills threading their way through the state legislature, maybe being teed up as we speak to be passed in lame duck. And I want to start with a package that certainly seems to have bipartisan support. How about that? House Bills 5223 and 5224 that would change the way teachers are evaluated in Michigan. Chastity, go. What would these bills change?
It'll change how much state tests have to say about how a teacher is evaluated. And you know, that's a really controversial topic. Of course, teachers say, you know, testing isn't everything. and others will say, well, you know, you have to show some growth with your students as part of your evaluation. I think that's going to be the biggest sticking point as this thing moves through because it's really, you know, where the rubber meets the road.
And Michelle, these two bills cleared the House in May with large bipartisan support, and the MEA supports it. We don't often see everyone apparently singing from the same page in the choir book like this, do we?
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. You have to remember that these bills have been in the chute for quite some time. They started back a few years ago when Deborah Ball at the University of Michigan led a team to take a look at what educator effectiveness bills should look like in Michigan. And then they were followed up by another more internal, so to speak, internal Lansing development team, where they brought a bunch of the education associations, folks like the MEA, school superintendents, school principals together to say, what should these bills look like? And I think you've had so many people really trying to think strategically about what would make the biggest difference for Michigan teachers and for Michigan students that these bills are really prepared, I think, to make a big difference in classrooms.
All right, let's turn to a package of bills being considered by the Senate. These are Senate bills 950 to 957, and they focus on how to help school districts in financial trouble before they go into free fall. Michelle, how would this work?
Yeah, so we've had, for the last handful of years, quite a bit of trouble with districts falling into deficit. We have declining enrollment. We've had relatively stagnant state investments. And districts are on the ground and they're struggling. So the state is asking itself, how can we get to these districts sooner? How can we identify districts that are likely to have financial troubles and help them address those before they're falling into deficit, before they're forced to lay off a lot of staff or close schools or whatnot? So they're looking at a system that would require earlier reporting so that state financial officials would be able to provide some technical assistance. They're looking at requiring some new reports that would allow the state to be able to say, well, the assumptions that you built your budget on may or may not be sound. How can we support you? But there's quite a bit of controversy about whether or not this extra reporting would actually improve the ability of districts to meet their budgets and to address some of their shortfalls.
Chastity, who's for and who's against and why?
Well, you have some legislators who are saying, you know, these early warning bills would essentially make the districts, like Michelle was saying, report earlier, report more. And some legislators are saying, you know, it's a burden on the district because, you know, they don't have time for that, and it's probably not going to help out anyway. And also there's a part in the bill that would say, well, you know, there's a possibility that the state could withhold some of your funding if you ignore these early warning signs that they're really looking to find out. And, of course, there's some pushback against that. You know, why are you going to withhold money from a district that's, you know, got a possible deficit? And so, but then you have, of course, people who are concerned that we have nearly 50 districts, including some charters, that are operating with a deficit, and there needs to be some kind of, you know, safety net, something to let us know earlier that they're in trouble.
Now we go to a proposed reform that is pretty controversial, House Bills 5111 and 5144, testing third graders. Michelle, tell us what's in these bills.
Yeah, so these have been dubbed the third grade reading bills. And what they propose is that if a student isn't reading proficiently by third grade, so that assessment that they take in the spring, if they're not proficient on that assessment, then they wouldn't be allowed to go on to fourth grade. The partner bill would give districts additional requirements about what interventions they would have to provide for students who are struggling to hit that proficient mark. And the idea is that that third grade moment is so critical for early literacy. We talk about it being a shift from students learning to read to them reading to learn, and that if they don't get the support that they need, they don't have the proficiency that they need, then it makes it more challenging for them to have a strong school career moving forward.
Chastity, this package also has bipartisan sponsorship, just like the one that we talked about earlier. And this has Democrat Thomas Stallworth of Detroit and Holland Republican Amanda Price. Does that translate to bipartisan support in the legislature?
This is totally my speculation. I would guess not. But the thing here that is going to be probably a logjam is that this third grade literacy bill, compared to places like Florida, where they have had a third grade retention bill that says, you know, if you can't read by third grade, we'll hold you back you know, they held back like 1 out of 7 kids when they first started theirs in Florida. And but at the same time, they put up like $130 million for reading. And now they're like 10-15% ahead of our kids in fourth grade reading on the national test. What really needs to come out and will likely be discussed as this bill moves, assuming it will move in lame duck, is whether or not we're putting up any money to help kids with reading, and whether we're going to put up enough money to help kids with reading as opposed to just retain them.
Because retaining is one thing, but if you don't have the money there to pay for the reading help, and also probably for districts to do the administration of these tests.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. One of the big differences, I think, between this effort and the teacher evaluation effort is that there are a Democrat and a Republican sponsoring the bill, but the support among the ed community is much more mixed on the third grade reading. You have some school districts and some education associations who are fiercely opposed to this bill, and you have a handful of others that are strong supporters. And that divide is much different than the evaluation work that we've seen.
And the fourth package of bills brought to us by House Democrats focuses on charter schools. Chastity, spell out what these bills would do.
You know what? I would be stunned, absolutely stunned, if the charter school bills went anywhere. You know, of course, we have a Senate and House that's, you know, majority Republican. I totally would be surprised if we saw any lame duck bill that would ask for or require more accountability from charter schools.
I tend to agree with that. I think if you want to see a more hot button issue, don't look any further, I think, than the charter school legislation. I mean, we've had Superintendent Mike Flanagan weigh in. The Free Press Charter School series really started this. The Association of Charter School Authorizers, charter schools have been talking about this. I tend to agree with Chastity. If there's any movement on increasing accountability for charter schools in lame duck, I would be completely shocked with Republicans.
And this legislation would essentially say there should be more financial reporting from charter schools and maybe place a moratorium on new charter schools. And it's all because of, like Michelle was saying, a lot of questions that have been raised about accountability in Michigan's charter schools. I think it's DOA. It's a Democratic-led issue, and Republicans usually support choice in charter schools.
Of these four packages of bills, which do you give the best chance of passing in lame duck, Chastity?
You know, I think that Rhodes is going to take up a lot of time, and if any of them were to move, I'm like totally guessing on this and would say teacher evals only because it's a requirement for No Child Left Behind waiver that we have. Third grade retention is still a little contentious, even though you have some really influential lobbyists who are pushing for it.
What do you think, Michelle?
I think teacher evaluation, too. There's been so many people working to get this done that I think there'll be a lot of voices saying that this is ready for prime time.
Chastity Pratt-Dossie, Bridge Magazine, and Michelle Richard, Public Sector Consultants. Always a pleasure talking schools with both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anytime.